Christians know the Bible tells them to be generous. What some may not realize is that God's Word also tells us to be hospitable. Hi, I'm Rob West. Still others might not realize that there's a connection between the two, hospitality and generosity. Fortunately, Sharon Epps is here today to explain this to us. Then it's on to your calls and questions at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's always great to have Sharon Epps with us on the program. Sharon is president of Kingdom Advisors, and Sharon, it's great to have you back.
Wonderful to be back.
Hospitality may be on your mind these days, Sharon, I'm guessing, because as you know, we just hosted and you led the team in hosting 2,200 financial professionals at the Kingdom Advisors Conference, Redeeming Money in Orlando. And so this is obviously right there at the top of your mind, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And I think there's a perception that hospitality involves entertaining with big formal invitations or maybe complicated events like the Kingdom Advisors Conference. It might mean crystal and china and a spotlessly clean home. And I just want to ask, who does that these days? I haven't been invited to a china dinner in quite a while.
That's right. But
I've been challenged recently to study hospitality from a biblical perspective. We're given the instruction in Romans 12:13 that we're to share with the Lord's people who are in need. In fact, it reads, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Hmm. We're actually commanded to show hospitality. So I've given a lot of thought to what that might mean in today's culture. And one of the things I always do is go to the dictionary and see what it says about hospitality. And it says that hospitality is the friendly reception and treatment of guests or strangers, the quality or disposition of receiving and treating guests and strangers in a warm, friendly, generous way.
I love that.
And I also believe that hospitality is that act of generosity. And that's why we should care about it. It's a pathway to fulfill God's role for us as his ambassadors. And it also allows us to be generous to make others' lives easier. I have a quick story about that myself.
Okay.
I actually had a season in my life where I was just having a lot of challenges. And I had some friends that literally invited me to their home, open door, any night for dinner so that I didn't have to worry about going home to make dinner myself. Talk about hospitality.
Incredible.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it sure is. And it really helps us to understand how to put feet to that idea. Now, you and I have been impacted by Will Goddard's book recently, Unreasonable Hospitality. You challenged me to read it as we were thinking about our leadership at Kingdom Advisors, which I did, and I loved it. And he, of course, tells this story of transformation of an average New York cafe into literally the world's best restaurant in 2017. So talk about how that concept of unreasonable hospitality fits here.
Well, he actually received that award, best restaurant, and it was because of his unreasonable hospitality. He believed that he needed to provide his guests with a fantastic experience. In fact, he calls it stretching the limits of what seems sensible. Mm. And he wanted to give them unique and tailor-made service that made each and every one feel like a VIP and exceed expectations. Now, are we back to that concept of fine linens and china? I don't really think so. It's more a mindset of celebrating others, and it's celebrating those smallest details that can make someone feel really special.
Oh, it's exactly right. And I'd love to dig into that a bit more. So what do you see as some of the outcomes of unreasonable hospitality, if you will?
Well, I think, first of all, it just shows love in ways that each guest can recognize and feel. It also, in us, fosters selflessness and helps us to be more generous. It also provides a safe place. In this culture, it's rare that we have a place where we could just feel calm and safe and be ourselves. It deepens fellowship, and it helps fill us with joy because God's wired us that way.
Yeah, he sure has. Well, we've got just about 30 seconds left. Tie a bow on this, Sharon. What would you leave us with here?
Well, I'd really like to give us a challenge. As we think about this idea of unreasonable hospitality, what gift has God given you that you might be able to share with others that might uniquely fit their needs? Is it a child that might need to learn to cook? Is it a friend that's got an interest you share? Let's look at how we can share today.
Yeah, it's such a great word. And I love that we connect this back to generosity because our hospitality is really an extension of our generosity, right?
It is.
Well, we're just getting started here today. Sharon's going to stick around, and we're going to answer your questions on anything financial. So call right now. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Have you heard the old hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing"? It acknowledges that every good thing comes from God Himself. And the line that follows is, "Tune my heart to sing thy grace." You see, reflecting on God's blessings can stir our hearts to sing. And the Apostle Paul gets rather close to singing himself in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." So today, let there be a song in your heart about God's grace. In Christ, you have received every spiritual blessing, lacking no good thing. Grow in your walk with Christ. Visit GetAnchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me in the studio today, Sharon Epps. Sharon is president at Kingdom Advisors, and she's a regular contributor here on the broadcast. And Sharon and I are looking forward to taking your calls and questions on anything financial today. Whatever you're thinking about in your financial life, living, giving, or owing, perhaps even growing God's money, call today with those questions, and we'll help you process those decisions in light of biblical wisdom. The number to call today with lines open is 800-525-7000. Those calls will build throughout the program. So now's a great time to get through without waiting. Any question at 800-525-7000. You know, Sharon, before we dive into these calls today, as we think about this topic we began with today on generosity and the connection to hospitality, you know, if we see our generosity as an overflow of our gratitude to God, not something we have to do, but something we get to do, then being unreasonable or even you might say lavish in your generosity is something that's just natural. Right?
It really is. That's where we start. Because if we try to just be generous in our own strength, then our human nature overcomes us. But the more we look to Jesus and see what he did for us, the more the natural response is gratitude and to share that with others. And of course, we're told that we're made in the image of God.
Yeah. Well, that's a great point. And when we're made in the image of God, we look to God and we see that model of generosity. God was the ultimate giver. And so I like to think we're most like him when we're giving. Well, what does that look like for you? Well, if you have a question around giving wisely today, maybe even giving to your kids through your inheritance or whatever it might be, that and any other financial question, we'd love to tackle those. 800-525-7000. Let's dive in. We'll begin today in Kansas. Roger, you'll be our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
Several programs ago, you mentioned a site to get an annual credit report. Can you tell me what that site is? And is it legit? You have to fill out a lot of personal information. Is that okay to do that?
Well, Roger, we like to rely on annualcreditreport.com, and I think you're wise to ask that question. There are many online services, if you just Google, that will want lots of information and, in fact, for you to pay. But at annualcreditreport.com, it is free. They actually merge all three of the credit reporting services, and they're reliable and safe. So that's why we like to point people there.
Yeah, probably a good idea, Roger, to your point, not to do that on public Wi-Fi. Do that in the security of your own home, because you are putting some sensitive information so they can verify your identity. But that is the website to go to, and this is a great idea. We appreciate your call today. You know, Sharon, talking about credit reports, I know I've always recommended maybe four times a year pulling that report just to make sure there's not erroneous or inaccurate information.
Well, that is smart, because you never know what's going on if you aren't checking in on it. And you can actually even rotate through the three national credit bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. And that gives you just a clear, it's like checking to make sure that the oil has changed in your car. It's checking to make sure that all the things with your financial life are being reported correctly.
Yeah. And according to the Fair Credit Reporting Act, if you have inaccurate information, you can dispute that. They make it very clear there. They have 30 days to verify it. If they can't, it has to be deleted. But I think more often than not, we're seeing folks that have inaccurate information on their credit report. That can, of course, damage your credit score. And so you want to get on top of that. You know, go ahead.
One more thing, Rob. Yeah. I think it's also potentially a good idea to consider a credit freeze for yourself. I actually do that with our own credit, because we don't borrow very frequently. And so when you enter a credit freeze, it means that no one can apply for credit on your behalf. Now, it does, when you are ready to apply for credit, you have to do a temporary, what they call a temporary thaw. Yeah. But you can intentionally do that temporary thaw, and it just gives you a little extra confidence that others aren't using your good name in a bad way.
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing more and more of this. As we move to a more digital and cashless society, we are seeing, of course, more commerce online. That means more potential for fraud. The security requirements continue to go up. That's a good thing. But there's always going to be those fraudsters that are looking for ways to take your identity and use that in nefarious ways. So just be on your guard there. You mentioned a great best practice. That is the credit freeze. I think another one is something called two-factor authentication. You may say, what in the world is that? That's just simply where your identity has to be verified from a second source. Typically, it would be a text message that's sent to you on your cell phone. It could be one of the two-factor authentication apps. That's a good practice. I know using a password keeper and making those long string passwords that you update regularly. Anything else, Sharon, that you've found to be helpful in identity protection?
Well, I think just know the websites that you're going to. And if you're in any doubt, I particularly encourage you not to click on links from emails that are sent to you, but go directly and type in on your browser where you want to go, just to make sure you're at the right place when you're entering information.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Also, keep those operating systems, both on your phone and your computer, up to date. That's going to make sure you have the latest security patches. You know, this is just something we need to be on our guard against. We don't need to live in fear, but we need to take the proper steps to protect ourselves, to protect God's money, and be that wise and faithful steward I know that you want to be. The number to call today with your questions on any topic, Sharon Epps here today with me for the broadcast. We're answering those at 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Missouri. Hi, Guy. What can we do for you today?
Hey, good morning. I wanted to follow up on that credit freeze. I have used that in the past whenever there have been some erroneous charges on a credit card, and I had to change my account. But also, does that apply? You know, you hear about all this title fraud where people are trying to steal people's homes.
Yeah.
Will a credit freeze, will it catch that kind of fraudulent activity?
Unfortunately, it will not. Those are two separate things. So essentially what you're describing is where somebody would go into the county records office in person, typically actually fraudulently change the deed on your home to themselves and then use that then transfer of the deed where they're now on paper, the owner, to take out a loan and then not pay it back. And then when they come to foreclose on the property, you find out that you've had a fraudulent transfer. The problem is there's really nothing that can protect you from that. I don't like paying someone for that protection because they almost bill it as insurance, and there really isn't a way to insure against fraud because at the end of the day, that's what it is. So they would not be able to act on that in the sense that it would have been a fraudulent transfer. Therefore, the foreclosure would not be able to go through. No doubt that would be a big hassle, and it's something you want to avoid, but there really isn't a way to, quote, lock your title. Now, some, and I would say increasingly, the county records offices are making available alerts so that if there was a change to your record in the deeds office, you would be notified. That would certainly be helpful to stop something in its tracks early. Again, this is fairly remote. These are not happening all the time, but it does happen. And so perhaps a call down to your county records office or stop by and just say, what could I do to be alerted if there was ever a change? That's probably your best option, Guy, not necessarily paying something to do something they really can't do in the end of the day. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that about the deeds office. In fact, I'm going to go by there this morning and just see if they do have that service because I've often wondered how in the world, we live in a fairly small town, but still, how in the world someone can actually go in and change a deed without me being notified. So, yeah, I appreciate it.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for your call today. Lines are open. Sharon Apps is here. I'm Rob West. Call right now, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Well, welcome back to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Sharon Epps in the studio today with Rob West, and we're taking your calls on all things biblical financial wisdom. So we would love to hear from you. We have some lines open at 1-800-525-7000. Let's just jump right back in with Ann in Mississippi. Ann, how can we help you today?
Yes, I was going to purchase some furniture. I opened a credit card with that company, 60 months, same as cash. And then I backed out, decided I didn't want to sell my existing heirloom bedroom suit. So I canceled my furniture order, but I did not cancel the credit card because someone told me that if you open a credit card and then you cancel it pretty quickly, that it will affect your credit and make it go down some. So it's been 10 months now almost, and I was going to wait a year, but I'm not even sure if that's long enough to wait before I cancel it.
That's a great question. I think one of the things that is important to consider is just your overall credit score, your FICO score, and the other credit that you have. There's so many things that go into it. It's not only what credit you have, but it's also the usage on your credit and how long you've had other credit. So do you happen to know your credit score, or have you checked that in the last few months?
Well, yes. One of the credit cards sends my credit score, I think, every month. I'm not sure, and I don't even request it. It's just a service they provide, and it's anywhere from 750 to 800.
Okay, so you're in excellent shape related to your score. I don't think closing this one account with your other good credit would make that much of a difference, and it's unused on your part. The other thing we always want to think about is if you've got an unused account, just from a practical standpoint, there's opportunities for people to potentially misuse it. So I would suggest go ahead and get that account closed out, and you'll have that out of your way, and you could continue to monitor your credit score, and I'm thankful that you have access to it on a ready basis.
And so if just out of the blue, if somebody had a poor credit score already, how long should they wait before they cancel a card, or does it matter? I mean, well, middle of the road, let's say. I don't know. I'm just thinking my grandchildren might have something come up, and I'd like to know.
Yeah, the big factor here is, credit utilization. So where this could come into play is if this is unused credit, then it's helping your credit utilization for somebody who's carrying a balance. So if they were carrying a balance and all of a sudden this is removed and now that percentage of the overall credit available to them, their balances are now a higher percentage, and that trips over 30%, that's where it could start to pull the score down. But typically with a card like this from a store, it's going to be a fairly low credit line. It's going to have a nominal impact on your credit score. And if you're not out looking to buy a house or a car in the next 6 months, it doesn't really matter if your score is moving around 20 or 30 points in any direction. So I would say even for somebody with a middle-of-the-road credit score, unless they're ready to go buy that car or house and get a mortgage or a loan, they probably don't need to worry about it. And to Sharon's point, better to have that one out of the mix, one less card that could be compromised. And thank you for your call today.
Well, let's go ahead and go to Jerry in Louisiana. How can we help you, Jerry?
Yes, ma'am. I was calling about the mortgage. I had gotten some time back, gotten a position to where I kind of had to, more or less, to get it. But I had a really low credit score at the time, which was, I think, 5-something. And so that's why I ended up with my interest rate being about 7%. And a payment of $409.93 a month. But I got this letter And it says they're going to raise my interest rate now to 10%, and a payment of $489.76 a month, and I got a balance of $45,000, or a little over $45,000 left on it. But now my credit score, though, is I had gotten it up to like 749. But on my last check, about a month ago, for some reason it said it had dropped down to like 704, which I don't understand how that happened.
that's a great question, Jerry. Do you know if this was an adjustable rate mortgage? It sounds
like it is
if they're changing the rate. Yes.
It's ARM, they call it here in this letter.
Okay. Yes.
And,
so that.
But he told me the they were going over all the good points of this mortgage. They said over all the other kinds, and this was the best one that I would be able to get, for me. And so I had to more or less accept the interest rate that they had.
Jerry, it's a great question. You know, I think with this adjustable rate mortgage, the reality is it's going to move around. Sometimes they're adjustable from day one. Other times you might have what's called like a 5-1 ARM where it's fixed for 5 years, then it starts adjusting. So regardless, you're in that adjustable period. Rates obviously are higher than they were when you got this mortgage. And because you had that poor credit score at the time, that's why you had to settle for that. As rates come down, and they will over the next year, it's not going to happen right away. Given that inflation has proved to be a bit stubborn, we're probably going to see that in the second half of this year into 2025. So I think a year from now is probably when you may want to look to refinance if you can save a couple of points on the interest and maybe lock it in at a fixed rate now that your credit score is much higher. Sharon, any other thoughts?
I would think it wouldn't hurt to just check rates of a fixed rate even now, and particularly with your credit score being improved. It will at least just give you a guide to know, okay, this is what I might be looking for, and then keep a watch on it over the next few months.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thanks for your call, sir. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Back with more after this. Looks like we have two lines open, 800-525-7000, encouraging you, taking you back to God's Word, and helping you make financial decisions in light of biblical wisdom. That's what we do on this program each day, Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Sharon Epps here. I'm Rob West. Stick around. A lot more to come just around the corner.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Today's teens face more dangers than ever before. But 80% of teens say the most important relationship they have is with their parents. Next time on Focus on the Family, Jody Berndt shares how you can pray specifically for your teenager, their relationships, conflict, technology, and their faith. Next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
So for God to speak is for God to engage in self-revelation. We only know God because God has condescended to speak to us.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that answers many of the common objections about the Bible's reliability. The film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
We're so thankful you joined us today for Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. To my left in the studio today, Sharon Epps here. We're answering your calls and questions at 800-525-7000. Coming up in our next segment, Bob Dahl will stop by. He's Chief Investment Officer of Crossmark Global Investments, and he'll give us an update on the markets and the economy this week. As we think about our role as stewards of managing God's money, God owns it all. We're his money managers. That's a really high calling. And so we want to be found faithful. And I think part of that faithful journey of a steward is seeking wise counsel. God's word is clear about that. And that's why we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation here at Faith and Finance. Men and women, now 1,500 of them across the U.S. and Canada, that have met high standards in character and competence. They've been trained to bring a biblical worldview of financial decision making and investing. And you can find a CKA in your area, perhaps interview two or three and find the one that's the best fit at faithfi.com. Just click find a professional. That's faithfi.com. All right, let's head back to the phones today. All the lines jammed up. So we'll go to West Virginia. Melinda, you've been waiting very patiently. Go right ahead.
Hi, yes. My husband and I received a letter from Loan Depot where they have leaked some sensitive information. And they are offering 2 years of credit monitoring, but they also suggested the credit freeze.
Yeah.
So I guess in listening to you guys, it seems like that might be the best choice, because my score, my personal score, not my husband's, it went down 70 points.
Yeah, I love that option. I'm so sorry, Melinda, that you've gone through this. Unfortunately, this is more common than ever. And, you know, I typically will say, let's not pay for credit monitoring simply because there's nothing you can't do yourself there. And so just adding another monthly expense is not something I'm excited about. But whenever your information is compromised and this is offered to you, and it generally is, I would take full advantage of it. That on top of the credit freeze that Sharon mentioned earlier, I think makes a lot of sense in light of what you've been through. Any other thoughts?
I always take advantage. If somebody offers me credit monitoring for free, it's just an extra benefit, and it gives you a little peace of mind that you're getting a report if something happens.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Melinda, thank you for your call. I would take full advantage of those. God bless you. Let's go to Texas. Hi, James. How can we help?
Hello. I had a question about we currently have 3 credit cards. I don't really like having 3. My wife is we just got 1 just because it gave cash back, but we've got that down to a 0 balance. The other 2 we're going to pay off by July. Is it better to, and what I want to do for the big one that has a $4,300 balance, when we pay that off, I'd like to just it'll be 0 balance when we get it down to 0, and then do I close it out, or, and, you know, I want to shred the card and close it, or just leave it open as a 0 balance?
Well, James, that's a great question. I think a lot of the answer depends on what your goals are. So if you're in the process of paying off your debt and you have a healthy credit score and you don't need all three, then I think you would be welcome to close one of them. A few things to think about that are important there. One, just from a credit score perspective, is if you've got an older card, the length of your credit is one of the things that's considered in your credit score process. And so all things being equal, I tend to keep my older cards just to keep that longevity. And then Rob mentioned a little earlier on the program, the credit utilization. We do want to make sure that there's enough of an open balance on your card that it doesn't negatively impact your score. So there's a little bit of looking at your overall credit picture and assessing those particular pieces before you close one out. I would also say don't just cut up the card. You would need to actually call the issuing company and make sure they close the account.
Yeah, that's well said, James. I love the idea of narrowing that down, considering those factors that Sharon mentioned. I don't know about you and Joel, Sharon. I know for Julie and I, we have a business credit card that we use for business expenses, one that we use personally, and then a debit card. Is that kind of the way you
Very
all operate?
Similar. We do have one. We travel internationally to see family, so we do have one that's got international benefits. Nice. But we try to keep it as limited as possible.
Yeah, very good. Hey, thanks for your call, James. Let's stay in Texas. Hi, Bill. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hi there. Go right
How
ahead.
How are you, Mr. West?
I'm doing great. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What I was calling about is I'll be 67 years old in July. I'm still working. I plan on working until I'm 70. But I have a 401k through the company I work for, which is about $25,000. I don't know exactly when you retire, how that works, what you're supposed to do with it.
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, once you separate from your employer, you do have options. One of those is to roll it to an IRA, an individual retirement account. That's not a taxable event. You're keeping it in that pre-tax environment. Why would you do that? Well, you have more control over two things: the fees, because you would determine kind of what kind of environment you're in and what the fee schedule is. And then secondly, you have more control over the investments. Inside that 401k, you have a limited menu of investments. As soon as you get to that IRA, you essentially have unlimited investment options. So generally, that's the way we would recommend. I think the only decision you have to consider prior to making that rollover is who's going to make the investment decisions. And given the more options in the IRA, just makes it more challenging, perhaps, if you're the one making those decisions and you don't know where to turn. And so that's where, for a smaller IRA, I would say less than $75,000, perhaps our friends at soundmindinvesting.org could be helpful. You could reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor as well once you get over a certain amount of total investable assets. But I think moving to that IRA is generally the advisable approach. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. It does make sense. That's what I thought, but I wasn't sure. But I am, like I said, I started drawing my, just recently last month, I started drawing my Social Security, and I plan on working and keeping up, putting all my Social Security into a savings account. So yeah. I don't have a lot of money, but I'm 67 years old, got a late start, I guess, right?
Yes, sir. Well, you're doing it right. You're working longer, which is great. That's going to take the pressure off. You're saving that Social Security. I would try to get up to at least 12 months expenses and then just keep socking money away. And it sounds like you're on a great track here as you try to catch up, Bill.
Yes, sir.
There's a proverb that says steady plodding brings prosperity. And I think that's what you're doing. So we're so thankful for that. And just keep it up.
Well, I'm thankful for you guys, too. I listen to American Family Radio all the time, and I listen to your show every day. I drive tractor trailer, so I have time to listen, and I really enjoy your show.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Are you out on the road right now?
I'm parked at a Walmart fixing to unload groceries.
Okay, there you go. Well, thanks for your call. We appreciate you being on the program. You know, Sharon, we started today by talking about generosity, and you challenged us to think about our hospitality as part of our ability to be generous. And, you know, I can't help but think that one of the things that we can model for our kids is hospitality and hopefully transfer that important value that they might carry on.
you know, they see and follow what we do more than what we say.
Yes.
And so bringing them along in any opportunity for giving is a great way to train them, for sure. And, you know, we really love this idea of even being hospitable together with other families. So what would happen, for instance, in your neighborhood if a couple of family neighbors get together and invite new neighbors in?
Oh, I love that. That's incredible. You know, anything we can do to model that lifestyle of everyday generosity will go a long way to helping our kids carry that with them throughout the whole of their lives. Sharon Epps here today. I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Back with more, including Bob Dahl, right after this break. Stick around.
God hasn't promised you or me that we're going to sail through life with a get-home-free pass and not have any difficulty. But what God has promised is that His grace is sufficient for every need we will ever have. Amen?
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Courage to Conquer, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Sharon Epps in the studio with us today. We're taking your calls and questions on anything financial. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Hey, we just released in the last month our brand new four-week study called Rich Toward God. We'd love for you to check it out at faithfi.com. Just click shop at the top of the page. This is a great study for you to dive into God's Word around some really important themes around abundance. What is true abundance? You know, God created us for abundance. The challenge is we often look for that abundance desire to be satisfied in the things of this world, and that's not God's intention. He is our abundance. What about the uncertainty of tomorrow, or even what it means to live rich toward God? All of these themes and more are tackled in this four-week study, taking you into God's Word, perfect for individual study or a small group. And again, you can check it out at faithfi.com. Just click on shop at the top of the page. All right, here in the final segment of the broadcast, before we head back to the phones, our good friend Bob Dahl joins us each week with his market commentary and analysis. Bob is Chief Investment Officer and Chief Executive Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, where investments and values intersect. And Bob, I guess this week, all eyes on the Fed in that all-important meeting, right?
Yes, for sure. They're meeting as we speak, Rob, and we'll get the magic results at 2 p.m. today in a press conference from the Fed chair. The strong expectation is no change in rates, but what will the language be? Will it be hawkish, be dovish? What about the dot plots, which have each individual governor deciding what they think the path for rates should be? How many cuts will be there this year? The current view is three. There's some leaning to they're going to change to two. That's all minutiae in the long run. The question is, how strong will the economy be and how much will inflation recede?
Yeah, it sounds pretty exciting. I mean, hawks and doves and dot plots. I mean, we got a lot of things going on there, Bob. You know, what about the balance sheet reduction side of this thing? I mean, where do you think they're going to go from here?
Yeah, the Fed still has a huge balance sheet, remember, accumulated during COVID when they bought so much of that paper. And unwinding that is a tricky business. They don't want to just dump that paper on the market, but they need to or want to wind it down. I think there's a whole discussion that includes that and a bunch of other technical issues around liquidity here in the next 6 to 8 weeks. There are many of us concerned liquidity is going to dry up a bit in the system, and that could cause some issues, and the Fed's balance sheet is one of the variables there. So watch that space.
Hey, Bob, this is Sharon. Always good to hear from you when I'm on the air as well. I'm thinking a lot about our callers who, during these uncertain times, have a lot of questions about gold. Can you just update us on where we are and, again, what your recommendations are there?
Sure. Always good to hear your voice as well, Sharon. Gold has done well, as listeners know, over the last bunch of months, and it's largely around this inflation issue and the uncertainty and maybe some geopolitical insurance policy. People want to hold gold to protect against that. So my view is, in a non-zero inflation environment, world uncertainties, having a little gold in your portfolio is just fine. I sometimes say, I hope everything in my portfolio does well, and gold doesn't, because it's often a counterbalance against stocks and bonds, for example. But having a little gold in this environment probably makes some sense.
Yeah, that's great. No, we appreciate that, Bob. Hey, before we wrap up today, Sharon and I started by talking about generosity today. I know that's been something that's near and dear to your heart for a long time. What would you say to our listeners today just about their opportunity to hold God's money loosely and give generously?
Well, you just said it, God's money. I meet so many people, well, I have to decide how much of my money I'm going to give away. It's not your money. Everything we have is from God. Yes, our money, our minds, our bodies, our relationships, our time, everything is God's, and we need to honor him, so being a good steward is absolutely key. And these times where markets have done so well, a lot of people have account balances that are a lot bigger than they thought they would be, take some of that money and give it to the glory of God.
I love it. Well, thank you, Bob. We always appreciate your insights, my friend. Thanks for stopping by.
Have a great rest
of the week.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Bob Dolley's Chief Investment Officer and Chief Executive Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. All right, Sharon, what do you say we head back to the phones?
Let's do it. Stephen in Mississippi, you've been holding for a bit. Thank you for that. How can we help you today?
All right. I've got a house and 4 acres in Texas that 10 years ago, the job down there played out. I had to move to Alabama. My son's been renting it from me. With the intent of buying the property. Now he's not able to do this. In that time, he has let the house go down on me to the point that it probably would cost me $30,000 or $40,000 to bring it back up to standard. I'm currently owe like $77,000 on it, and the recent tax appraisal on the thing was $310,000. I don't know if I should just try to sell it as is to get out from under it, or should I take a look at getting a loan to bring it back up to standard and then resell the house in this current market.
Well, it's always a good question. I mean, I'm happy to hear that you've got a good bit of equity, it sounds like, even with those renovations and repairs. It sounds like, if I understand correctly, you'd only be maybe $115,000 in, you know, total owed on a $300,000-plus property. Is that right?
According to tax appraisal, yeah.
Okay. Well, but it's probably worth more than the tax appraisal.
I got on it 5 years ago, came in at $150,000.
Oh, okay. But it doesn't sound like you're upside down, even with those renovations. You know, I think I would probably get a realtor in there, somebody who specializes in your area of town, similar style properties, who could look over this and just be a sounding board. Because I think, given this idea that you want to sell it, you want to look at it with a different, more critical eye than you would if you were going to keep it and enjoy it. You are going to want to approach those renovations in an entirely different way. You want to do things that are going to help you maximize the resale value and not scare off a lot of potential buyers. You don't want to go farther than that, though, and do things that you aren't going to get your money back on. So I think getting somebody in there who could help you assess what is the true market value right now, and hopefully the property values increasing nationwide are going to help you right now, and determine kind of how to approach those repairs, eliminating anything that's unnecessary that you might pass along to the next owner that they may want to choose to do themselves, but taking care of those things that the professional would say might hold you back from getting it sold. And then for anything you do need to borrow to repair, probably a home equity line of credit, just given that we're in a declining interest rate market, or we will be, that's going to allow you to ride those interest rates down and only pull the money you need to do the repairs you need to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. I think that's where I'd go from here.
And Stephen, I would just, as with everything else, I'd probably check with even two or three realtors, because they vary in their experience in these types of properties. And so make sure you have one that's got great experience in this area. Thanks so much for calling today. Let's go to Irma in Texas. Irma, how can we help you today?
Good morning. So happy to be able to speak with you. I'm calling in regard to some property that I inherited back in 1981. The first taxes I paid were in 1982. The property valued then at $7,000. Market value now is $74,100. I will be selling this property by owner. I'm wondering, since the money, I want the proceeds of this to go to my grandchildren for their college expenses. I'm wondering if I will need to take the payment myself, or can I go ahead and have the payment split between my two daughters for their children?
That's a great question. So you want to sell it right now. It's not a property you live in. Is that correct, Irma?
No, it's a virgin property. It's mountain property. There's nothing there.
Yeah, very good. And you want to take the proceeds and then you want to give it now to the kids for their use immediately or for their use down the road for college?
One will be immediately and the other three will be future.
Okay, got it. So this would be subject to capital gains on the proceeds based on your the market value as of the date of death. So when you inherited it, you mentioned that it was worth about $7,000. Let's say you sell it for $74,000 today. So you're going to have about $67,000 in profit. That would be subject to capital gains tax. Now, do you file taxes as a single person or married filing jointly?
I'm a widow, single.
Okay. And if this was sold this year, is your income, adjusted gross income, above $47,000? Do you know?
No, it is not.
Okay. So under $47,000, and never a bad idea to check with a CPA to go over all the details, but just generally speaking, you don't pay capital gains as a single filer until your income is above $47,025 for the year 2024. So your capital gains rate would be zero. Again, run that by a CPA and get the professional sign off. But I'm just telling you, generally speaking, I don't see a reason why you'd pay any gains, which means 100% of the proceeds would be then available to give to the kids. You could put that in a 529 plan if you wanted to, and invest it for the one that doesn't need it now. For the other one, you may want to just make the direct gift. Hopefully that helps you, Irma. God bless you. Thanks for calling today. Sharon, as a Texas native, I'm sure you appreciate all the calls from Texas today.
It has been wonderful for sure. And I love the generosity of Irma's heart in helping out her grandkids.
Absolutely. And that brings us full circle to our opening topic today. Always great to have you here. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks so much.
All right. Folks, it's been a true joy to be alongside you this hour to help you be redirected back to God's word, help you manage God's money with wisdom and diligence, but ultimately to be a faithful steward. Let me say thanks to our team today, Devin Patrick, Robert Youngblood, and Mr. Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without those folks and the entire team here at FaithFi. May the Lord bless you and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.